Trevor has a long history of involvement in the struggles in South Africa. He was born in Durban in 1960 and he went to university at Fort Hare, where he was expelled with many others for his involvement in a series of student strikes. Trevor then moved to Soweto, where he was involved in the massive upheavals of the 1980s and 1990s that eventually brought down the apartheid regime. But the fall of apartheid didn't end the class divide in South Africa, and it didn't end the deeply embedded racism in that country, where the country continues to be controlled by a mostly white capitalist elite. In recent years, Trevor has been a prominent activist in the Soweto Electricity Crisis Committee, a key organisation in the anti-privatisation movement. So please welcome him now.
Thank you very much, comrades. I want to thank Socialist Alternative for inviting me here. It is a great pleasure and honor. And I want to start off by asking the question, why am I here? Because, you know, I come from Africa. I'm now in Australia. I'm here because our struggle is one. Internationalism and international solidarity are the foundations of our struggle for socialism, for a better society. History has proven decisively that we cannot succeed to build socialism in only one country. But indeed, Marx said, the working class, the working people have got no country. But he did say that each working class must fight and conquer its own bourgeoisie. So I come from South Africa, a country whose working class, you know, like the one in Nigeria, is one of the most politically developed, which has actually been trained in the fire of struggle. It is a working class which fought and won against apartheid. The struggle against apartheid, comrades, was driven by a vision of a society without racism. But it was also a struggle which wanted to get rid of all forms of oppression and exploitation. Of course, I must say this today because, you know, it's an opportunity. The struggle against apartheid could not have won without international solidarity. The anti-apartheid movement was one of the greatest solidarity movements in history. And I'm sure many of you, comrades like Diane, they were there rooting for us and supporting our struggle. So thank you, comrades, for that. Also, this struggle inspired many oppressed and exploited people all over the world. Indeed, many African countries believe that once South Africa was free, since it has the strongest or one of the biggest economies in Africa, then Africa had a chance to shake off the shackles of colonialism, neocolonialism, and of capitalist exploitation. Indeed, this hope was not misplaced because at its height, the vision of our struggle of ordinary working class people in South Africa was not just to remove apartheid, to remove racial discrimination. It was also to fight and defeat and get rid of capitalism. We had a vision of a society where no child would go to sleep without food in his or her stomach, where all workers, all labor, would be treated with dignity and be given what is due according to the work they put in. Where ordinary people were a vision of a participatory democracy, where daily ordinary people would decide how their lives and things which affect their lives would be run. Unfortunately, comrades, today, that dream, that vision has kind of dimmed. In fact, for many ordinary working class people in South Africa, that dream has turned into a nightmare. And all this happened because the ruling party, the African National Congress, the ANC, the party of Nelson Mandela, chose the road of capitalism over the road of socialism. It chose to follow the advice of the World Bank, of the IMF, of the World Trade Organization. I remember clearly when Comrade Nelson Mandela came out from Robben Island. You know, it was like a festival. Everyone was happy. And he said in his first speech, nationalization is the policy of the ANC. But 6 months later, after he had been taken for a world tour and met the international bourgeoisie, he said privatization is the policy of the ANC. So, comrades, in 1994, the year of independence, the ANC won the elections on a, okay, admittedly, mildly redistributive policy, the Reconstruction and Development Program. But 2 years later, the ANC adopted a neoliberal macroeconomic policy called GEAR, Growth, Employment, and Redistribution Program. And this policy was inspired by the World Bank. The ANC, instead of fulfilling the hopes of many African people, you know, who were kind of ground by the World Bank structural adjustment policies, the ANC, instead of uniting African and other southern peoples to resist imperialism, it chose the policy of cooperating with the enemy. Indeed, when George Bush came to South Africa 2 years ago, he said Thabo Mbeki, our president, is his point man in Africa. The ANC chose against cooperating with other African and southern governments, you know, Venezuela, Cuba, Nigeria, etc., etc., to fight against the international bourgeoisie. The ANC chose the policy of competition. It chose to locate itself, South Africa, somewhere up there so that we could attract foreign direct investment. So rather than uniting all the oppressed against the capitalists, it wanted to please the international capitalists so that it could carry favor with the enemy. Now, this policy means that today the working class in South Africa, indeed in Southern Africa, in Africa, is paying dearly. In South Africa, unemployment stands above 40%. Most working people, you would call them here, are now the working poor. There's a lot of casual labor. In the retail sector, the supermarkets where we buy, more than 80% of the workers are casual. There's an incredible rise in the cost of living, food prices, petrol prices. There's an explosion of crime. Our jails are full of black working class youth. And in fact, our rate of incarceration rivals that of the USA. 10 million people live in shacks, in squatter camps. And at least 30% of working class people in the urban and rural areas do not have access to clean piped water and electricity. Education is very expensive, and indeed, there's a conscious policy to promote and develop a black bourgeoisie. We've got a policy called BEE, Black Economic Empowerment. And indeed, the people who have benefited are only a handful, and most of them are to be found in the National Executive Committee of the African National Congress. So, a friend of mine, some of you might know him, Dennis Brutus, who led the sports boycott against South Africa for many years, he says this policy should be called BEEE, Black Economic Empowerment for the Elite. Now, this sad and sorry tale of betrayal, of dashed hopes, dashed expectations, is generally unknown to the world. Many people still want to believe in the myth of the South African miracle, of the Rainbow Nation, where blacks and whites reconciled and, you know, everyone is living happily ever after. This is the propaganda the world is fed. Indeed, even inside South Africa, we are told daily by our government how good things are. When things go bad, we are reminded how bad things were under apartheid. Indeed, most of our problems are blamed on apartheid. So you get tired platitudes by our president, Thabo Mbeki, soundbite politics, things like today is better than yesterday. His newest is, it is business unusual, we're fighting against poverty. And indeed, figures are daily produced to show how our economy is growing. There's economic growth, things are improving. But if you ask any ordinary person, they will tell you, indeed, it's painful to many of us when some rank-and-file people say things were better under apartheid, which is the worst condemnation anyone can say about this regime. Okay, this story of, today is better than yesterday, economic growth has been dramatically exposed because now, since last year, December, there's an energy and electricity crisis in South Africa. You know, you get rolling power failures, blackouts, you know, for up to 6 hours a day for most of us. And this energy crisis is exactly due to the policy of privatization, the policy of putting profit before the needs of the people, profits before securing electricity supply and access for all. 10 years ago, Eskom, the electricity company, which is owned by the government, but is being rapidly privatized and is run like a business, Eskom retrenched, laid off 30,000 workers. It also closed down many power stations. That explains why now we have a shortage of electricity. Because instead of securing our access to electricity, they were watching the profit bottom line, and the CEOs and the senior managers are the best paid directors in South Africa. Now, with this energy crisis, the bourgeoisie, the ruling class, you know, as usual, wants the working class to pay. So we've been told now already there's going to be a 14% increase in the tariff. And you know, many people cannot afford electricity. Indeed, the organization, our organization, the Soweto Electricity Crisis Committee, was formed to fight for affordable electricity. But now we'll see a price increase. We'll see an increase in cut-offs for those who cannot keep up with the payments. Our organization, the Soweto Electricity Crisis Committee, fought for the past 5 years against cut-offs. Our method was to reconnect those who got cut off. But I'm sure now, with this energy crisis, it should be easier for the government and for Eskom to attack us. Already, the mines, one mining company, has announced that it's going to retrench 7,000 workers because of the energy crisis. Our government has already signed a deal with a French multinational corporation to build a nuclear power station. Indeed, our government is refusing to invest in renewable energy. South Africa bans coal to produce electricity. In fact, if you adjust for, you know, demographics, gross domestic product, South Africa is the leader in the world in terms of carbon emissions. So, The other way, the lie of the rainbow nation of the South African miracle has been exposed. We see now in the past 2-3 years a rise in strikes, a rise in community uprisings and riots. After a decade of political lull, the working class in South Africa is beginning to move again, and that gives us hope. We had a strike wave two years ago. We had strikes in the retail sector, cleaning sector, security, auto, in the airways. Last year, we had the biggest public sector strike in the history of South Africa. This strike saw black and white teachers, nurses, civil servants marching shoulder to shoulder, demanding a living wage, demanding better treatment. And for once, kind of propaganda, you know, which says you can't strike against your own government was done away with. And also the idea which was sown by Nelson Mandela himself that strikes should be not disrupt. You can strike, but not disrupt was done away with. We also see, according to the Minister of Police, in the past year or so, we've had 10,000 protest actions per year in South Africa. Community uprisings, riots, mostly working class communities fighting for what is called service delivery. This means people want houses, they want electricity, they want water, they want education. Indeed, just now there's a wave of struggles in South African universities with students demanding free education, demanding education also for the working class. So I would say South Africa is in the grip of a social, economic, and political turmoil. And as I've said, it signals the revival of the workers' movement in South Africa. That workers' movement is the force that defeated the powerful apartheid state. And I think it is the only force, the workers' movement, that can challenge and win against capitalism. In South Africa, there is no shortage today, you know, with 10,000 recorded protest actions, strikes, there is no shortage of struggles, of issues. Indeed, we have many social movements, the Anti-Privatization Forum, the Landless People's Movement, the Treatment Action Campaign, fighting for HIV/AIDS treatment, Jubilee South Africa against paying of the third world debt, and so on and so forth. But the problem is that all these struggles, all these issues are more or less happening in isolation from each other. Most social movements, indeed including mine, tend to be inward looking. So you don't find a real unity between labor, community, and student struggles. And another problem, we have the ANC, SACP, COSATU Alliance. This is more or less the historic bloc which is running South Africa on behalf of the bourgeoisie. The ANC, the Communist Party, and COSATU, the Congress of South African Trade Unions, the biggest union federation in South Africa. Their plan, you know, in response to the turmoil, in response to the ground burning under their feet, is to say, let us change the men and not the policy. So they fought hard to get rid of the president, Thabo Mbeki, and then they replaced him with someone called Jacob Zuma. But this guy has never shown any inclination or tendency to side with the working class. He started being against Thabo Mbeki when he got fired for corruption. So what is happening is that there's a lot of potential in South Africa, but the South African Communist Party, COSATU leaders, are refusing to organize against the government of the ANC, the government of capitalism. They are refusing to unite all these struggles with a view to overthrowing capitalism itself. The leaders of the SACP of COSATU, they are still in the grip of the politics of class collaboration. You know, they have the SACP has a very strong Stalinist background, although they have repented. But that policy of class collaboration found an echo in Mandela's policy of reconciliation. You know, let us reconcile the jockey and the horse, because their interests can be put together. So, comrades, I would say we need in South Africa to unite all these struggles and all these issues and to link them to a vision of a different society, just as we did when we were fighting against apartheid. We need to fight for immediate concessions, reforms, victories, but we also need a vision and a struggle for power. Because what is the point of on Monday fighting and marching for water, on Tuesday fighting for electricity, on Wednesday fighting for HIV/AIDS drug treatment? Why don't you just combine these struggles and fight for to remove the enemy from power? Because as long as the enemy is still in power, the attacks against the class will never stop. So, comrades, in conclusion, I would say that I'm very happy to be here, and I'm so grateful, and I'm so happy to see so many socialists. I assume many of you are socialists. And I think, indeed, coming here tells me that we need to unite the working class in South Africa, in Australia, in Zimbabwe, in Palestine. We need to unite the struggles against racism, sexism, against genocide, exploitation. We need to fight to overthrow the capitalist system and replace it with socialism. Just as the South African working class, together with international solidarity, fought and conquered apartheid, I think we can, together with a vision of socialism, win against capitalism. In South Africa, when we do our viva, we say amandla awethu, which means power is ours. So I'll end off by saying amandla awethu. Amandla awethu. Thank you.